Well, good morning and welcome here to each of you. I thought about it on my way up here that we have somebody new here with us. A couple weeks ago when I was doing announcements, I forgot to announce. And so we're glad Jared and Kelly's little daughter is here with us today. Is her name Ivory? Is that right? All right. So we want to welcome Ivory. Just definitely a blessing to see little ones. All right. One of the last verses in Revelation, I think it's Revelation 22:17, says, "And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely." A couple weeks ago, we received an invitation in the mail for a wedding, and just a normal invitation. It has a, had our names on it, and had a date on it, had some planning that went into it. I guess today, we'd like to focus on Jesus' invitation that he gives to us. First of all, I want to focus on who's giving the invitation. Because that makes a difference, doesn't it? When we receive a wedding invitation or an invitation for a job offer, whatever, it depends who's giving it, doesn't it? Sometimes we say, "Well, you know what? We would like to be at that wedding, but we're gonna have to hold off. We just have too much going." And then there's some wedding invitations you get that you know that you want to be there. So, who is inviting? First of all, I believe Jesus, he's the creator of the world, and he's the creator of you. He's the sustainer, the one that gives you the breath that you have, the one that has given you all that you have. He was with God, so this was with the first point, I guess, is he was with God at the beginning. Jesus was there with God back at the creation of the world. Another thing about Jesus is he's the most compassionate man. We briefly had one of the brief stories about him being compassionate in devotions this morning of him healing that blind man. How would that be to be, you never could see anything from birth, and then to have somebody take compassion on you and heal you? Jesus is the healer. There's a verse in Isaiah and a verse, and it repeats it in Matthew, where it says that Jesus, when he sees a bruised reed, he doesn't throw it away. When he sees smoking flax, he doesn't put the fire out. He's the healer. Do you sometimes feel like smoking flax? Feel like maybe there's not any hope there? Jesus is the healer. He was the one that was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. He's the good shepherd. He's the one that's omnipotent. He's all-powerful. Omniscient. He knows everything. And he's omnipresent. He can see everything. In Revelation, I think we'll turn to Revelation chapter 1, verses 12 to 18. And that gives us a vivid picture of Jesus in his glorified state. We are blessed with having the Gospels where we can see Jesus as a human and somebody we can relate to. And also, we are blessed with this passage in Revelation chapter 1, starting at verse 12. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. That is Jesus. That is the one that is extending that invitation in Revelation chapter 22. Also, he is the Son of God who died on the cross for your sins. All right, so we're going to look now at some invitations that Jesus offers, and this does not cover near all of them. So if you think of some more, God brings some more to your mind, that's a blessing, because this list is not inclusive, all-inclusive. All right, so first of all, in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 to 30, he says, Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. What's the burden that you're carrying today? There's an open invitation for you to give that to Jesus. Give that burden. Let him walk with you and share that burden. In Mark 10, verses 14 and 15, he says, Suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. Jesus has a special invitation for little children. And I think that's such a blessing for those. Isn't that such a blessing for those that have young children? Is Jesus' desire is that we would bring them to him. Also, I believe this scripture gives us a teaching for receiving the kingdom of God as a little child. What does that mean? I believe that means to come in with humility. Another invitation is in Revelation 3, verse 20. Jesus said, Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me. Jesus doesn't just want your name, name written down on a paper somewhere. He wants a relationship with you. He would like to sup with you. Would you like to sup with him? How would that go? How would it be if Jesus would come along with you for a day? On your route, whatever you're doing, is that something we yearn for? Is that relationship with Jesus? Would you like to have a meal with him? That relationship with Jesus, there's life in that one. In Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 to 22, Jesus is calling us to follow him. I think we'll go ahead and read those verses in Matthew chapter 4, verse 18. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets, and he called them. And they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. Jesus is calling for us to follow him. He doesn't show us everything that we'll face in life. His command to Peter, his command to, I guess it was James and John. I guess Peter wasn't involved in this story here. But oh yeah, the first of all, it was Peter and Andrew. So he didn't show them the whole journey, but he gave them a simple, easy to follow command of follow me, follow me. So we don't see the whole picture. We don't see where God will lead us all through life, but we can. He gives us enough light for the next step, and gives us clear direction. So follow me. Oh, by the way, now this reminds me. Let's go all the way back to the beginning. Our title of the message today is a simple word, come. So that's the title. It's just come. So now I'm sorry for not introducing that earlier. All right, and then John 11. We're not going to necessarily read that whole chapter, but that tells us the story of Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. Verses 43 and 44 says, And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, Loose him and let him go. Jesus' invitation speaks life. At his command, a dead man came forth. Another invitation is, and we already touched on that. Matthew 12:20 says, A bruised reed shall he not break, and smoking flax shall he not quench, till he send forth judgment unto victory. And just that's a tremendous promise. When everyone else sees the hopelessness of a situation, Jesus sees potential. So never lose hope. If you're praying over somebody, if there's somebody in your life that you're praying for, never lose hope. If your life feels like it's in despair, never lose hope. John 15:4 says, Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. Our spiritual life depends on our connection to Jesus. All right, so those are a few invitations that Jesus is giving you. Why is Jesus inviting you? He desires to save you. It is not God's will that anyone perish. He wants to heal you. He wants a relationship with you, not a cold, distant relationship. He wants a warm, intimate relationship with you. He wants to make a disciple out of you. He wants to use you to reach out to others. We don't want to go alone, do we? We want to reach out and help others. He wants to give us abundant life. The last part of John 10:10 says, I am come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. He wants to give us eternal life. Luke 12:32, Fear not, little flock. It is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. He wants you to be the man or the woman that you were designed to be. I have a couple thoughts under why would anyone not accept this invitation? I guess first of all, I put down Satan has blinded their eyes. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says, In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. And I believe that should give us a heart of compassion when somebody's walking away. Sometimes Satan has blinded their eyes and they can't see things clearly. Another thing, why would anyone not accept this invitation? I think it comes down to pride. I do not need help. I'm good. Another one is distracted with other things. I don't have the reference for it, but there's a verse that says, if a man gain the whole world and lose his own soul, what doth it advantage him? What doth it gain him? If you would gain the whole world, or this next year, if you gain X amount of dollars, or you gain X amount of pleasure, but your soul starts to decay, was it worth it? Under this other thought, I have, why would anyone not accept this invitation? Have we done our part in inviting them? 2 Corinthians 5:20-21 says, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God, for he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. We have a responsibility in helping people being reconciled to God. All right, and then who is invited? Some of these, you know, wedding invitations, if it's a big crowd, you know, you invite. You have, as a couple, you got to sometimes decide, do I invite Uncle Paul or don't we? And hopefully your uncles all get invited, but, you know, you have to decide who's getting invited. Does all the children, everybody get invited? Listen, this invitation's for everyone. For everyone, whosoever will, everyone is invited. Nowhere in the scripture do we see that certain people are excluded. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. The call is for everyone, whosoever will. Matthew 22:1-14. All right, and we'll go ahead and read those verses in Matthew chapter 22, verses 1 through 14. Matthew 22, and Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables and said, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son, and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Again he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready, come unto the marriage. But they made light of it, and went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth, and he sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their city. Then saith he to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good, and the wedding was furnished with guests. And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment, and he saith unto him, friend, how camest thou in hither, not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then saith the king to the servants, bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen. And we don't have time to jump into this whole passage here. Simply want to pull out the point here that the invitation is open for all the world. And also it's a personal call to each individual. I stand at the door and knock. And who is invited? Number three is you are invited. You are invited. Your friends and family and neighbors are invited. Also your enemies, if you got them, they're invited. So so that can affect how you look at people, right? We're all invited, but it's a personal call. All right, what's the cost of accepting this invitation? a wedding invitation, sometimes you got to look at doing a trip to another state or doing something. What's the cost for this one? Cost of this one invitation is everything. Everything. Why don't we, I'm going to read the verse from Matthew 13, 44. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath and buyeth that field. There's a lot in that little verse, but it's simply saying, when you see the rewards that this invitation offers, when you see the rewards here, you say, well, it's worth it. I'm going to sell out my life. I'm going to get rid of this worldly currency and trade it in for this heavenly currency. It's worth it. The currency of this world is so temporary. And also this invitation is an invitation for a change of life. It's a change of allegiance. A change of attitude. A change of heart. A change of focus and a change of destination. If anyone be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. How do we accept this invitation? Jesus does not force anyone to accept this invitation. We don't wake up one day and say, well, I think all of a sudden I'm saved. We receive it. We choose to receive it. Believe in Jesus and confess him. Romans 10, 9 through 10 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. How do we confess Jesus with our mouth? Is it a once and done thing when we're first saved? Or is it an ongoing thing where we confess him? How does it look? How can we confess Jesus to our children? Can we confess Jesus to our neighbor when we're talking with him? Can we confess Jesus to publicly in church? Or Romans 10 looks like confessing Jesus with our mouth is tied to our salvation. And believing in our heart that God raised him from the dead. Do we serve a risen Savior? Or is it some historical fact that we're somehow worshiping? No, we serve a risen Savior. And we're willing to confess him. So, that thought, I guess, steps on my toes of confessing Jesus. So, don't feel like you're the only one, maybe, that... Because how long? I mean, sometimes you can go a little while. You can go a little while till you publicly confess Jesus, but I believe there's a blessing in that. Another way we accept this invitation is to repent and turn away from sin. Psalm 51:17 says, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise." We come to God in humility. We come as a little child. Another thing is to choose to identify with Jesus. Choose to identify with his body, the church. That goes along with choosing to identify with Jesus. Choose Jesus as the Lord of your life. Be sensitive to his leading. Live your life according to his revealed will to you. And another way, accepting invitation, this is maybe a minor thing. I'm not sure how to fit this in here, but I think it's important to teach our children to come when we call them, because doesn't that condition them to hear God's call? So, I don't know, I just think of that with young children and stuff, is to teach them to come. Teach them that they can talk to their parents. So that's a minor thing, but I think that's a way we can encourage our children to have their ears tuned to God's call. All right, so now we're going to go all the way back to one of our ancestors. All of us here had this as our ancestor. His name was Noah. And one day, God spoke to Noah, and he said, "Come thou, you and all your house, into the ark, for I have seen thee righteous. Because I have seen thee righteous before me in this generation. How much better of an invitation could Noah have wanted? Come into this ark. Do you think he had any regrets of all the hard work he had put into this ark, following the details? He built it according to God's prescription. He did not skimp and put some cheap plywood or something on the one side of the ark that nobody could see. He built it like God told him to. Another thing that's a blessing to me with those words is God didn't just invite Noah into the ark, but also he invited his family. And what better blessing could we have than to see our children, our family, be faithful? How did Noah pass on his vision for building this ark? And maybe that's another subject. I'm not trying to get into that, but I believe there was something. As Noah worked with his boys, that he was there to answer their questions. He was there to show them his vision, show them what God had taught them. And that was able to, there was a reason that they were along with them on the ark there. So take that as encouragement. For working with your children. I guess in ending here, I'd like to read a song that imagines what it was like for someone in Noah's day, that watched Noah build the ark and heard him warn of coming judgment. The man down the road is building a boat, and I smile as I walk by. It's by forests of trees. It's amusing to me, for there is no water in sight. My little boy says to me, "Daddy, why can't he see? There is nowhere for his ship to float." As I ruffle his hair, he continues to stare as we turn slowly back towards the road. The man down the road has finished his boat, and he calls me as I pass by, pleading, "Turn from your sin. Bring your loved ones. Come in, for the Lord his wrath will outpour." And then the man says to me, "Very soon you will see that the only safe haven's this boat." He continues his prayer to the ones standing there as I slowly turn back towards the road. The man down the road is watching his boat, and I stop as I pass by. Can't believe my eyes, beasts of every size, are making their way inside. My little boy says to me, "Daddy, come let us see if there's room for our family to go." And we marvel the sight as he holds my hand tight, and we turn slowly back towards the road. The man down the road is inside his boat, and I panic as I race by. As the heavens gush down, waters burst from the ground. Rivers run where there once was dry. My little boy cries to me, "Daddy, run, let us flee," as we climb up the highest of hills. In horror, my cries are turned toward the skies as we turn and press on up the road. Revelation 22:17, I believe, says, "And the Spirit and the bride say, 'Come.' And let him that heareth say, 'Come.' And let him that is athirst, 'Come.' And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely." The invitation is open for us today.